In 1930s Paris, when Henri Cartier-Bresson showed his early photographs to Gertrude Stein, she advised him to go into his family's business, manufacturing sewing threads. Ignoring that advice, Cartier-Bresson became a father of modern photojournalism and one of the greatest photographers of all time. In Paris, a retrospective of his works is showing at the French National Library, and a foundation has opened that bears his name. NPR's special correspondent Susan Stamberg went to visit the famously reticent photographer.
How do you do?
How do you do? I'm Susan, thank you.
His fifth-floor apartment on the Rue de Rivoli overlooks the Tuileries Gardens and the Louvre, the Eiffel Towers in the distance. It's one of the great views.
Oh, my Lord. You get to see this every day?
Yes.
I don't care.
Which is your good ear? Which is your good ear?
None.
Henri Cartier-Bresson will be 95 in August. His hearing's gone, but he appears healthy in his green sweater and turquoise bolo tie, cane at his side.
I like to look out your window. Have you done drawings of what you can see from here?
Cézanne did.
And Monet, Pizarro climbed up to paint this view. Cartier-Bresson began as a painter. Those roots are clear in his black and white photographs. Pictures composed in the camera, no cropping ever. The human experience caught in the click of his Leica. But in 1975, he gave up photography. Now he draws. John Morris, his friend and one-time Life magazine photo editor, says Cartier-Bresson never discussed that decision.
If he had, I would have said, you're crazy to give up photography. Because in a way, the rest of the 20th century was lost to his camera.
What his camera had found was an Indian child in 1947, the baby's malnourished ribs echoing the lines of a nearby wagon wheel. Shanghai, 1949, a crush of people desperate to sell their gold before Mao Zedong's revolution rolled over them. Moscow, 1954, dust-covered men and women taking a break to dance before returning to their back-breaking construction jobs. Decisive Moments, which is the title of a 1952 collection of his photographs. Cartier-Bresson's wife, photographer Martine Franck, says her husband was always in sync with the times.
I think Henri had an innate intuition of what was going on in the world and what was important. I mean, you were in India when Gandhi was assassinated. You were in China when the communists arrived and the Kuomintang left. You were in Russia at the right time. I mean, I think...
You're reproaching me to be here now?
I'm not reproaching at all. I'm saying that you, in fact, you knew where to go at the right time.
The great photographer sends a reward across the room to his wife. It's clear she keeps him going. 30 years younger, she organizes his affairs. Aunt Martine Franck runs this sunny, simply furnished apartment. On the white walls, not a single photograph, only some drawings and paintings, and on a far wall, a large oil by Matisse. They were friends. Henri Cartier-Bresson knew all the greats. Now his memory is fitful. He speaks in fragments and with reluctance, especially when you ask him about photography. I never think about photography, he says. It doesn't interest me.
It's instant drawing photography.
This is the man who once said photography was a matter of putting your brain, your eye, and your heart in the same line of sight, thus defining the search for photojournalists. And Henri Cartier-Bresson achieved that alignment better than just about anyone else ever. The pictures he made over a 45-year career have influenced every professional photographer and countless amateurs. In his Paris living room, leafing through a book of favorite photos by other people, Cartier-Bresson pauses at an image captioned Black Boys Ashore, Lake Tanganyika.
C'est la première photo qui m'a impressionné.
The first picture that impressed you?
Yes.
Martin Munkachi took the picture in 1931. Three African teenagers run into the surf. Their arms stretch toward the water. Their heads are thrown back in joyous anticipation. Their naked bodies glisten.
Why is this so good?
C'est la perfection. Without that photograph, I never would have thought of taking photographs. It was a challenge.
Does it seem a very difficult photo to take?
Well, it's perfection of shape.
Henri Cartier-Bresson once said Munkachi's picture made me suddenly realize that photography could reach eternity through the moment. After he saw it, Cartier-Bresson got himself a portable Leica camera. I ask about a picture he took in 1946 of Jean-Paul Sartre. The widely published image has always intrigued me. The philosopher stands pipe in mouth on a snowy Paris bridge. He's bundled against the chill in a muffler and overcoat. Sartre is talking to someone, a man whose shoulder and profile you can just make out on the right edge of the frame. Why did he take this picture?
Just for pleasure.
Hmm. I'm interested in it because of his eyes. He's talking to this man, but he's looking in another direction. And I wonder why that's your choice.
He was cross-eyed. Il était louche.
You see, I thought it was a picture of him thinking. Because when you look away, sometimes when you're deep in thought, you look away.
So much for fancy theories. This may be why HCB hates being interviewed. Anyway, he's given us a Sartre for the ages, the way we will always think of the writer. This is Henri Cartier-Bresson's great gift, defining images, shot with great precision. Great intelligence, too, says John Morris, who was executive editor of Magnum, the photo agency Cartier-Bresson helped found in 1947. Intelligence, education, a sense of history.
And the final thing is, it comes from the heart. He has great human perception. He understands children, he understands old ladies. And he knows what moments are significant in terms of the human being.
The National Library in Paris, where the Cartier-Bresson retrospective is showing till the end of this month, is a sterile, heartless place. Four glass buildings on a stark plaza with slippery steps and trees encased in cages to protect them from the sharp wind. But inside, the photographs on the walls give off warmth and humanity. They are full of life and experience and empathy. Photographic art, by a man who will argue against that phrase with his old friend and colleague, John Morris.
The result of your photography is considered a work of art, just as
a
painting.
What is a work of art? I mean,
I can't help it, Henri. Photographs are now considered works of art. And you're one of those who made it so.
Blah, blah.
Oh, no, come on. You were the first photographer to have a show in the Louvre.
What does it mean?
I mean, don't put it down. It's important.
What?
It's important to all the rest of us.
An old, brief, black-and-white film shows Henri Cartier-Bresson taking photographs. He's at a Chinese New Year's parade in New York. In a dark overcoat and brimmed hat, he bobs and bends and weaves through the crowd, peering into his Leica. He shoots, dashes further down the street, looks, shoots, a hunter after prey. Now and again, Cartier-Bresson puffs on a curved pipe in his mouth. Glasses, his eyes are very blue, by the way. Look, shoot, look. Then he removes the pipe, taps it empty against a shoe, and pockets it. He's done. Until he spots one more moment about to unfold. Henri Cartier-Bresson rises to his toes, stands on one foot, takes one more photograph. It's ballet, an act of grace. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.
Some of Cartier-Bresson's photographs are at npr.org.